This air review is brought to you by Verizon. When the Navy and the Marine Corps look to securely and effectively modernize their voice communications, Verizon's suite of services, solutions, and contract vehicles are there to help meet mission needs.
Hi, everybody. I'm Ross John Fortuna here at Sea Airspace 2024 in National Harbor, Maryland. Joining me now is Captain Matt Sigelski, the commanding officer at Hopper Global Communication Center. So this is part of the Office of Naval Intelligence, correct?
It is.
Welcome. Welcome to this conversation.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So you manage the cybersecurity posture for a lot of people. There's a lot of threats. There's a lot of things coming at you. What are the greatest ones, and how do you defend 360 against those threats?
So the I think you're aware of defense in depth, right? And so that goes from everything from the physical security aspects of protecting a network out to the logical pieces, whether it's a normal update to a piece of equipment or network infrastructure, or it's something that we don't expect, right? An adversarial action. And so most of that really kind of boils down to understanding the main points of like availability of a network, the integrity of a network, and the confidentiality of a network, right? And Hopper Global Communications Center specializes in JWICS, an SCI, sensitive compartmented intelligence capabilities and networks. And so ultimately that confidentiality is definitely a critical aspect, but making sure that we have sensors, personnel, and the training that is needed to do all of those key components of network security all at once is really kind of the cornerstone of what makes Hopper work, and also what makes it successful at delivering an intelligence network around the globe to all the different maritime operations centers for the Navy, and then also ensuring that we have visibility into protecting those pieces in real time.
I want to pull on that thread, specifically the real-time part of it. Obviously, decisions need to be made instantaneously. How do you make sure that stuff is done correctly, quickly, and on time when it comes to deploying new things and getting, you know, next-gen technology, things like that?
So correctly, quickly, and on time. So we go through a rigorous process of examining the requirements of the fleet warfighting partners, examining those pieces, prioritizing them, and then just working down that priority list of, hey, what do we need to examine? What is coming in the future with way of technology that's available, things we see at sea, air, and space, and other different venues, but then also ensuring that those new technologies also have the rigor, the basic authority to operate on a specific network, and that might be coming from something like reciprocity of a Gensler network, or it might be brand new, and we have those security specialists in Hopper as well.
Acquisition, you had mentioned it, and new technologies and future proofing. How quickly do you need to be on the pulse of that stuff?
So that really kind of boils down to what you've heard is like decision advantage, right? And driving that timeline of how to make the highest quality, most impactful warfighting decision as possible, right? And that lexicon of decision advantage within the Navy really kind of stems out of like the big systematic pieces are with NAVWAR out in San Diego. And so what I really enjoyed this conference was Admiral Smalls talking about, hey, Project Overmatch, really kind of the key aspect of the Navy's delivery mechanism towards CJADC2, right? Combined Joint All Domain Command and Control.
Very good.
And so that really kind of boils down into, hey, the Navy's deliverable, and we're a part of that as one of those Navy networks, right? And really, from the experience as an information warfare commander previously aboard the George H.W. Bush Strike Group, really seeing the power of that combined aspect with like our NATO partners, right? One of the things I kind of highlighted was work with the French Carrier Strike Group and having a Rafael fighter on the bush and really kind of getting after, hey, carrier aviation is complex. It's even more complex when you add that combined coalition NATO aspect as well, right? It's just an example. And so being able to continue to move that not only within the joint services, that J of that JADC2 aspect, but then also, most importantly, that allies and partner aspect of CJADC2.
Outside of government, partnerships with industry and with academia and stuff, how important is that to keeping everyone safe, keeping your network safe, and keeping things sort of on the up and up?
Yeah, so the education piece and the industry aspect, that really kind of drives and with that kind of project overmatch, that funnel of the innovation and new technologies that are coming out, how we see new ways of utilizing AI that Navy members may or may not think about, right? And kind of really driving that partnership. The academia portion, haven't had a chance to engage with academia there in places like Carnegie Mellon and some other locations. The skills and the capabilities of that academia aspect really kind of feeds the big industry aspect as well as the services, right? It's a competition for talent. We have great opportunities within the United States Navy, and we know that, hey, being able to serve a cause greater than oneself is ultimately one of the main drivers for folks that join and wear the cloth of our nation. And so making sure that we know that competitive piece that we bring while also knowing, hey, the specialties of industry is key. If our teammates in industry have, you know, chosen that path, we want to bring and get that talent too and keep that whole kind of ecosystem going.
I want to pivot for a second just to talk about something that I know is on the top of people's minds when it comes to things like security. How do you balance the security of accessibility with all these documents that have and information that has higher classification, different levels? How do you balance that with accessibility that people need? Like you said, quick decision making.
So balancing that really kind of boils down to risk, right? You've got a long-term sustainable process to bring different pieces and parts of a network and new software and hardware into an infrastructure, right? The authority to operate process and RMF process, right? So that ultimately delivers the foundation, to use the Chief of Naval Operations as one of their terms, right? In network land, foundation is that kind of integral security assessment on the front end. And then real time, being able to then say, hey, as a network operations, we have indications and warning of a specific event that we need to then prioritize to ensure that that intelligence gets to where it needs to be, when it needs to be there, in advance of that decision that needs to be made, right? And that has to happen routinely, repetitively, consistently, and very, very rapidly to then, again, circle back to that decision advantage piece.
Certainly. Captain, thanks so much for being on with us.
Definitely appreciate it.
All right, thanks.